Newsreels tell us what we know now is the big picture story. German troops pushed into France and Belgium by surprise in the bitter cold winter of December 1944. But U.S. and British troops pushed back.
Nazi columns, like probing fingers, thrust at the Allied lines, feeling for a break in our defense. 15 German divisions, upward of 200,000 men and 600 tanks, were thrown into the desperate gamble to delay the Allied advance.
It would be a hiccup in the push toward Berlin and the end of the war in Europe. But for soldiers under the pressure of battle, soldiers like Harold Sparky Songer of Danville, their attention wasn't on the big picture.
I learned more about the war by watching the Battle of the Bulge, Ken Burns' version of it, and I found out who was the left of me and who was the right of me. I never knew that. Why should I? My job was to go straight ahead. Shoot straight ahead. Yeah, that's where the enemy was.
It shouldn't be a surprise that many surviving Central Illinois vets have the Battle of the Bulge on their service records. After all, it was the tail end of the war, the Allied force was at its largest, and some of its youngest veterans were entering action. By the time the offensive was reversed, more than 76,000 Americans had been killed, wounded, or captured. Sparky Songer and his unit were sent straight into the Ardennes Forest in the days before the Germans would eventually begin their push through the snow. Songer's superiors weren't concerned.
They kept saying that they were going to expect trouble because we could hear them moving up big vehicles and they're screaming memes and saw a lot of people walking around over across from us. And hold your ground, they're not going to do anything, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to come through here. And the little PFC, we took their word for it and never questioned anything.
The element of surprise worked for the Germans. 3 days after the offensive began, low on food and ammunition, Songer and his unit were surrounded and captured.
And make no mistake, the German breakthrough marked one of the bitterest battles the world has ever seen. Many prisoners were taken by both sides.
It was a horrible scene. You lost faith in a lot of things. You lost faith in mankind. You lost faith in your superiors. And then the Germans came in, SS came in and marched us out.
Songer would spend the rest of the war in deplorable conditions in a German Stalag. In combat, he had taken a bullet to the chest, only to be saved by a spoon that he had earlier slipped into his shirt pocket. At the strategically important town of Sanvith, Belgium, Malcolm Davis of Urbana had a similar experience with a metal Bible case in his pocket. Like with many soldiers, the snow and cold stick in Davis's memory.
And there was a foot of snow. I took my basic training down at Camp Blanding, Florida, and all that sand, that helped me get through the snow because I was plowing through the sand and I had to plow through the snow.
Frank Mueller of Monticello counts no fewer than four times that he escaped death, including the same story of a bullet stopped by an unlikely piece of armor. In his case, it was his rosary. A closer call came with a chance decision to cross a road. In the opposing ditch, Mueller says he caught a glimpse of a German platoon waiting in ambush.
They're down, you know, we couldn't see them. They didn't see me because others were quite a way behind the point. When I went across the road, I got behind a tree. And I just opened up with the rifle and told the boys to get down, and they opened up. That was the end of that. That was one I felt good about. I felt good. I felt that, hell, I did something good. I saved some men.
Days later, during Christmas week, Mueller was shot in the leg and later was evacuated, still wearing the coat that he had taken off a German corpse so he could warm himself up.
And they laid me in the hallway. I lay there a while, and nobody paid attention to me anymore. They just... And I finally got a little bit mad, and I grabbed the nurse. I said, what the hell does a guy have to do around here to get some attention? I thought she was going to faint. She was so shocked. She said, we thought you were a German.
General Eisenhower visits the Third Army, which is doggedly battling its way toward heavily fortified Metz, another key to the Siegfried Line.
Well to the south, once moving through Metz, Harold Cox of Hoopston and his unit underwent heavy fire at Saarbrücken, just at the German border. But on a day that Cox considered quiet, a sudden mortar ended the war for him.
There was no firing or no nothing. That mortar come in and hit between me and the building. And it blew me up in the air. And I come down. And they taught us down at Camp Fannin, Texas, how to do certain things. And so I jerked my belt off, put it around my leg, give it a jerk, and that's the last thing I remember. I woke up in Paris, France.
Cox would lose that leg. Jill Knappenberger was a rare American civilian on the front line, but a willing one. She drove a clubmobile. It was a Red Cross truck fitted to make donuts and brew coffee to cheer up the troops. Knappenberger now lives in Champaign. She joined the Red Cross to travel and be part of the action. But she didn't expect what she experienced when she was sent across the English Channel into France and Belgium, not far away from where her twin brother was fighting at the time. The Red Cross mistakenly sent her to St. Vith on December 16th.
And they're surprised, what are you girls doing here? Well, this is where we're assigned to be, and we found out right away we were in trouble. That's right exactly where the breakthrough started. And they were coming around and cut communications and roads. We couldn't get out.
Knappenberger and her unarmed civilian clubmobile crew were stuck at the front line for 6 or 7 days.
I also learned that night that my beloved twin brother had been killed that day. Fortunately, he probably didn't know that 88 went right through his helmet. He was killed instantly.
Knappenberger eventually drove her clubmobile out a road that had suddenly opened as American troops fended off the German attacks. It was about the same time that Malcolm Davis dug his first foxhole in the same area. Both followed the march into Germany in 1945 once the Bulge was settled. Frank Mula and Harold Cox recuperated back in the States. And Sparky Songer and his fellow prisoners were able to walk away from their camp with the help of men who once guarded them.
It's a miracle we won that war. It's a miracle. And we did it by sheer manpower and guts. We did as we were told to do.
And when each soldier and civilian did their individual jobs, including the men and women who now live in central Illinois, it fit into the victory we now know as the Battle of the Bulge. I'm Tom Rogers. AM 580 News.